Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one-coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5-quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.
Back to the Hollow Sky Podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Steven.
And Kyle.
And it's Monday, Hollow Cult. You know what that means. You've chosen us to get you through your work week. Today, I'm coming in with a little alien abduction case that I dug into. Pretty interesting. It's gonna be a multi-parter. I didn't think it was going to, but like once you open the doors on this stuff, it just kind of takes on a life of its own. If you're new here, welcome. First off, welcome. If you don't like to listen to us chit chat and go through all of the business, you're going to want to fast forward to about 6 minutes ish, 6 minutes from now. And we should be into the crux of the show. But if you like to listen to us talk, hang out. And if you're a regular, you know the drill. So check us out at all our social medias, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, Discord, Reddit. Search up the Hollow Sky Podcast and we will be there. Come join the community, be part of the cult. It's cool. It's a good time. If you have a paranormal experience you'd like for us to feature on our Thursday listener experience show, Kyle's got some details for you.
I do. It's in the show notes, as always. Always has been, always will be. But it's easy. HollowSkyPodcast@gmail.com. Write your story out. You can even record it. Shoot it over via email. We'll get it. File it. Air it. You're famous. The gate people have it figured out because we're getting gate submissions currently, which is awesome.
Yes. If you remember the gate program, keep them coming. We might just start featuring gate experiencers until we run out. If you'd like to support the show, plenty of ways you can do it. Patreon, $7 a month. You get extra episodes. You get early drops for our regular episodes, ad-free episodes, casket breath jams, early merch drops, merch coupons. It's a whole thing. Whole thing. You're going to love it. Go to hollowskypodcast.com. We've got a merch store over there. We got shirts. We got hats. We got stickers, beanies, all kinds of good stuff. You can go check that out. The best thing you can do, the easiest thing you can do, no cost at all, to share the show word of mouth. Post it up on the socials. Share it all over the place. And, it helps us out more than you can actually know. Just putting our name out there. I need to go and find this real quick and shout out one particular person who's always putting the work in. Hope he hears this because he shares the show every single fucking time we drop. He shares it on Twitter on X, and that's David. So David from X, we see you, buddy. Keep up the good work.
Much love, man. It's always and forever appreciated.
It's like clockwork. We drop, he shares. We drop, he shares.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we appreciate you.
It's good to know that we have people like that in our camp.
Yeah, and I was going to make a note to shout him out earlier, but it slips my mind sometimes, but I'm glad I remembered. So, yeah, we appreciate that. And it does. It's like it's Doesn't cost anything, doesn't take very much time, and it helps us out. So you can also go to wherever you listen to podcasts and leave us a 5-star rating and review. Whenever I find it, I will gladly, gladly shout you out. And then you'll get to be in this little segment of the show that people like. Some people don't like it. It's fine. It's whatever. This week's 5-star rating and review comes to us from our friend, I'm Good Now 74. I'm Good Now says, part of the cult for life, 5 stars. The most fun I've had listening to a podcast. I really feel like I know you two and that we're friends. I find myself referencing your show when talking amongst my friends. Always telling people to listen, keep up the great work, and stay the way you are. Don't change a thing. By the way, I got a ball cap and a shirt from the store. Really nice quality. Stay weird. Well, I'm Good Now. We appreciate you.
Much love. Much love. That one's good. That was a solid review. I really appreciate that. That was gangster. I love that you picked up some merch and you do know us and you are our friend. That's the way it goes over here in the cult.
That's what I was going to say. We're all one big cult family over here.
That's right. And that's what makes me think one day we'll pop, because more and more people are kind of getting that family camaraderie vibe. And I mean, if Steve and I ain't lost that in 6 years now, I don't know that we'll ever lose it in our journey. So
no, just who we are.
Yeah.
Either you like it or you don't.
We do get a little quiet on socials from time to time, but that's life picking up on its busyness with us.
Yeah. Just, yeah, that's not really any different either. You guys know. OGs know.
Yeah.
All right. And yeah, thanks for the kind words. God, sometimes it's nice to hear it.
Absolutely.
That being said, we're going to jump right into this abduction case. So I initially got this book called Incident at Devil's Den by Terry Loveless.
You've had that book for a minute now, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just saying, I remember when you got it and you were telling me about it loosely, and it's kind of, since then, it's kind of gone in one ear and out the other. I've kind of replace that information, those files in my brain.
So did I.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, so did I. But I started digging into it a couple weeks ago and reading it, and I was initially just going to talk about that specific abduction, thinking that like that was the crux of the book. But Terry has been a victim of alien abduction throughout his whole life. So there are some things I'm going to touch on and some things I'm not. That way it encourages you to pick up the book. Like, he had some incidents as a child that are pretty not cool.
Interesting.
So I'm just going to kind of touch on.
So this is going to be like a semi-graphic alien story?
Not so much the parts that we delve into here.
Yeah.
Right. Because I'm kind of just going from when he was an adult.
Okay.
If people want to dive into the things that happened to him as a child, and like there's a lot of like emotional trauma connected to it, which, I mean, it comes with any kind of abduction scenario, but like people not believing him and that kind of stuff sucks.
That sucks that it, you don't have people in your camp that believe you.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm going to start today's episode off with a quote from Terry Lovelace. The quote is, "We've already opened doors to monsters and they have arrived."
That sucks.
Yeah. He's got some one-liners in here. So to give you a little rundown on Terry, he's a retired lawyer who spent many years in state government as a prosecutor and as an assistant attorney general. He served in the U.S. Air Force from 1973 to 1978 as a medic and an EMT at Whiteman Air Force Base near Kansas City. So as with most UFO abduction cases, the timelines are a little back and forth because there's usually some triggering event that reminds the victim of the traumatic incidents from their past. And Terry's is no different. Again, this is going to be a multi-parter. I've got at least two done right now. I may go into a third one, and that's not even touching on like other aspects of his abduction, but like, there's just so much stuff like sprinkled throughout his encounters. It's wild, but we're going to start off with jogging. Because that's where else would an abduction start out?
Hey, man, harmless, trying to get in shape, get the body right.
Yeah.
And then, lo and behold, our little friends decide, we're gonna change it up a bit here.
Yeah. So it's the early 80s, and Terry was very much into jogging, being a military guy, and, you know, staying in shape was kind of a big deal. And jogging was a big health fad at that particular time, apparently. Interestingly enough, I made a note here that he actually lived in South St. Louis.
Oh, that's weird.
Which is weird.
It's close.
Close to home here. As his interest in jogging continued to grow, he built up stamina in each of his runs, each week gaining a little distance here, a little distance there. He started to notice that at about the 2 mile mark, something odd would happen. Just out of nowhere, never happened before, but he started to feel a weird half dollar spot just above his right knee. It would tingle and it would grow numb. And it only happened when he hit that specific point. He thought, man, this is kind of weird. You know, maybe I have some nerve damage or something that I can't remember. He said he could trace the spot with a pin and it had clearly defined edges beneath his skin. It happened every time he hit the 2 mile mark, like clockwork. Within 100 yards, the tingling and the numbness would kick in. At first, he just ignored it because it wasn't really painful. It didn't interfere with his life or his running. And he started to ask, like, his fellow runners in his like running pal community if they had ever experienced anything like it, and nobody really had. Finally, he went to his doctor, and his doctor basically told him, if it doesn't hurt, don't worry about it. You
know, like, that's solid advice.
OG stuff right there.
I'm glad my money is going to this advice. This is the best advice ever.
Don't worry about it. So he took the advice and just kept running. And he didn't really think anything of it for the next almost 40 years. He would run, the spot would show up, it would last for an hour or so after his run, and then it would fade away. On rare occasions, it would present itself when he wasn't running, usually under times of extreme stress. That was until the morning of October 23rd, 2012. Terry woke up with such an extreme pain in his right knee that he could not walk. He had no explanation for it because it was fine when he went to bed, and now he couldn't even stand on it. He'd actually collapsed from the pain when he went to stand up. It got so bad that his wife had to help him to the emergency room, where they promptly took a couple x-rays of his knee. A few minutes later, the x-ray tech came back and asked if they could take a few more x-rays, then a third time, and a fourth, each taking different views of Terry's right knee. Finally, she asked Terry if he was ever deployed in his time in the service. He told her no, he had stayed on the base as an EMT. Then she asked him if he'd ever suffered a shrapnel wound in the military or if he'd ever been in a car accident of any kind. Terry thought that the question was a little weird, but after thinking about it a few seconds, he was like, no, none of that's ever happened to me. And she asked again, other than the fall you took this morning, are you sure you've never injured that leg in the past? Maybe a car accident many years ago that you can't remember? And Terry's like, no. Like, can I ask you why? And she goes, there's a small object above your knee that looks metallic. It's the same density as metal. I've asked a radiologist to come and give us his opinion. He'll be down here in a minute. The radiologist came and checked the x-rays and confirmed that it was some sort of odd piece of metal above Terry's right knee. He asked to check out Terry's knee and touch the spot, and he said it should be right here. Terry kind of looks around like, what should be right here? The tech says a scar for a point of entry, which there wasn't one at all. At this point, while reviewing the x-rays, the radiologist in turn chimed in and pointed that the metal object looked like it had electrical leads coming out of it in the direction of Terry's head. They both looked at the object and agreed that it definitely looked like it had wires coming from it. And it almost certainly wasn't shrapnel because it had a uniform shape. At this point, the radiologist said, well, there's more, and proceeded to show Terry a frame below his knee. In this shot, there were 5 small objects arranged in a flower petal shape, embedded into his calf muscle. It was done in such a way that they were almost undetectable if viewed from the front of the calf. The doctor said that these had similar density to bone. They were flat and disc-shaped. These bones, if they are bones, are not in your knee. They're in the middle of your calf muscle, and they're flat. They're not like any type of cyst I'm familiar with. Cysts are round, fluid-filled nodules, and these are discs. Also, bones don't spontaneously sprout in the middle of your calf tissue. It's odd that they're arranged with such symmetry as well. So Terry's like, okay.
I would be saying, pull this shit out, put it in a vial, and I'm keeping it.
Yeah. Yep. They labeled the metal fragment as an oddity. They called the flower petal a Baker's cyst, and the pain would go away with time. As to get Terry on his way and out of the emergency room, they didn't want to deal with it. They're like, hey, it's going to be fine. Go home. And that's exactly what happened. The pain eventually went away. So Terry was pretty disturbed by the metal fragment in his leg because, A, obviously it was right where the phantom numb spot had been, and B, there was no scar for a point of entry, whatever got in there.
I think I would take wholeheartedly here. I think I would take doctor's advice because I'm the type of person that if I have an issue like pain in my knee and I go in and they're like, yeah, there's a weird metal thing here. But other than that, you're straight. Like you're good. I'm like, all right, cool bet. I'll just see myself out. Like it's, I literally would not, as long as the doctor gave me the stamp of approval, I'm good. I'm on my way. I don't give a shit. Of course, I'm going to go home and I'm going to go, how the fuck did I get a piece of metal? I don't know. Maybe it was when I was working and I just didn't realize. I don't know. You know, who knows, right? I know that I would explain it away and within a couple of days, I'd probably forget all about it.
Yeah, if it didn't hurt, you wouldn't think about it.
Exactly.
Not Terry, though, because I think it comes from recollections of being abducted as a child.
Yeah, that might have something to do with it. It
popped into his brain. But he was literally racking his brain to try to figure out, like, man, maybe something did happen that I just can't remember. Maybe something so traumatic, like it is blocked from my memory. He started asking his family if he had any accidents, and like his siblings and his parents are like, no, like you had the normal stuff, like bike wrecks and stuff, but nothing that you get any shrapnel from. He even went as far as to check his military records to make sure that nothing could have happened on base that he possibly could have forgotten about. So didn't find anything there either, but Terry just could not let this object in his knee slip from his mind. So he contacted the VA and asked for copies of his x-rays, which took a few weeks and a lot of phone calls to get. He finally got the files digitally and was shocked to see that they only had included two x-rays stating that the others had been destroyed because they were too poor quality.
That's weird.
Sucks.
So which ones did they destroy?
He didn't say.
I wonder if they destroyed the flower petal ones.
I'm thinking maybe so. I don't know. He kind of goes into it here a little bit later. So after he figured out like, hey, they only sent me two x-rays when clearly they took at least a dozen because it came back four or five times.
I was going to say like four rounds you were talking about. Yeah.
So this sparked Terry's curiosity even more, and he pulled up the reports from his visit to the doctor on October 23rd. He found it interesting that while the diagnosis was a Baker cyst, it made no mention of the weird objects that were found on the x-ray. So they talk about the cyst, which was the flower petal, but it didn't talk about the metal object. He found another radiologist report dated on the 25th, 2 days later. It did make note of round artifacts found on the x-ray, but it didn't say anything about the metallic object found. It simply stated abnormal knee, rule out Baker cyst. His research online found almost nothing that resembled what he had seen in his x-rays. The articles he found were about alien implants, especially with the absence of scar tissue over the objects. He'd asked multiple doctors to remove them and they all declined, citing unnecessary risk of surgery as the reasons, and that the objects weren't causing him any pain, which was true, and they weren't causing him any kind of like medical mishaps, which was also true. But upon seeing these alien implant pictures, Terry started having a lot of weird dreams. Dreams that he hadn't had in a long time. Dreams of something that happened over 40 years ago.
Okay, hang on 1 second.
Okay.
When he went to the doctor, did he go to a regular emergency room or did he go to the VA first?
I don't remember.
Because I remember you saying he got in contact with the VA.
I wonder if they.
And I also don't know if VA hospitals have emergency rooms. I don't know if that's a thing or not.
And I think they're probably privy to all the medical records.
Right. Well, my statement thought is that he went to a regular ER somewhere, and I just wanted to point out about how there's always the great debate about how these conspiracies can't be contained because there's too many people involved. There's blah, 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 blah. And yet, look at this. It's a regular fucking ER visit that within days, the information gets disappeared.
It gets better.
And on top of that, somehow everybody gets silenced in the process.
It's crazy. It's terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah. And it definitely begs questions, you know, are they specifically monitoring for this, which is crazy to me. It's crazy to think that they would monitor. Think about how, like, think about it in the form of an algorithm. Think about how detailed that algorithm would be to pick up a fucking doctor visit with a shrapnel shard in your leg. And they don't have an entry and exit point. And that right there triggers a response from the government going, oh, fuck, we got to hurry up. We got to get on this. We got to disappear this information and get the fuck out of here. So that makes me wonder, okay, is the algorithm set up because of alien abduction? Or is it set up like our Max Spears friend suggests, that this is government-based?
I was thinking the same thing. Right? When you once you went down that avenue, I was thinking the same thing. Like,
yeah, it's one or the other. Clearly, it's just a matter. Either way, incredible fucking response. Outside of the fact, if it was government based, they already have him on file, so they're probably watching him anyways.
And what has the greater consequence, right? That aliens are real and they're doing these experiments on people, or the alien aspect of it is completely gone. And it's our own government doing these things to people.
Right.
And just leaving enough inkling that, oh, hey, people will think that it's alien abduction. Like if it was the government to do that, like, are they going to leave like residue of implants and stuff in the people if they didn't want people to eventually find them?
And on top of that, you know, even removing all that crazy conspiracy shit, think about what that means in the sense of medical advancements. Just that alone, right there. Zero scar tissue. Zero, like, legit doctors are stunned. They have no fucking clue how this got into your leg. There's no evidence whatsoever that this was inserted into your leg. The scar tissue should be right here, and there's nothing.
We could do
go ahead.
We could do a whole ass episode on like alien implants, the ones where the body, like, your body grows tissue around it to protect it.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yep.
Yeah. And I don't know. It just like the implication, like you were saying, not only that our government's doing it, but that would, in my opinion, and I know it would get glossed over in the grand scheme, but to me, it points out how far advanced we are in these fields that we have zero fucking clue is going on.
Oh yeah. What, like with technology, what the public knows is always 50 years behind what's really going on. I wouldn't be shocked if the medical field was similar.
Oh, you're guaranteed, man. Guaranteed.
Okay. So this weird implant, again, it starts sparking dreams in Terry, dreams that he kind of suppressed for the last 40 years back from when he was in the military. And he had kept a journal of these dreams. So it was suggested to him, I don't know by who, maybe a therapist or whatever, but he had kept a journal, but he hadn't seen it in decades. But Terry's wife kept it put off in a storage unit, and she went and found it.
These are interesting circumstances. I'm just going to say that.
Yeah.
Because it's just, it feels cliche conspiracy that he's in the military, starts having weird dreams, therapist is like, you know what? You should keep a dream journal. I mean, it's just one of them things. Like, right? And you're like, okay, cool. Yeah. It's a great idea. I'll do that. And then you do it. And then I have got no fucking clue where it is. And then what? And your wife's like, I know where it's at because I kept it.
It's weird, right?
It's definitely strange.
So Terry's going on, trying to connect the dots from this journal to this weird new implant he's got going on, to all this weirdness he's got with all the doctors and stuff. So he goes to look at the report again. He's like, all right, I'm going to go back in and check this. He's shocked to see that the two original reports on his knees or on his knee don't exist anymore.
All right.
They've been completely deleted. The one from October 23rd and the one from October 25th, gone.
They found out he was looking into them.
The only thing left is another report placed from November, so the following month, that has zero mention of any metal artifact or the weird petal shapes. All it says is that he had a Baker cyst, nothing more. Just,
like that's straight up, like that's not even trying at that point.
No, just that this is the medical ailment he had. He's fine. Don't worry about it.
Not to mention smart play by the government, because I was expecting you to say it was completely erased. However, you would think through different avenues, there's a breadcrumb somewhere, because I'm sure that claim went to insurance. So there's dates and times that are going to be logged across different companies and avenues. So the government instead just goes, oh, we're just going to just change it to assist. That way it shows that he came in. Of course he came in. You know, any of this other talk about implants and wires and shit, nah, he just cuckoo. Not to mention, we'll probably be able to search his computer and finally he's been searching alien implants and you put one and one together, right? This dude's crazy.
I didn't think about that. So as Terry's looking through his journals, piecing this together, trying to figure out why everything that has to do with this implant is being redacted and changed and deleted, he's reminded of an incident from when he was in the Air Force. This is particularly important because it introduces us to another person that's very key to the actual Devil's Den abduction that I'll get into in the next episode. This is a man that we will call Toby. So Terry joined the Air Force 4 months after he graduated high school. He enlisted for 6 years to basically help pay for a college education that his family couldn't afford. Like you hear that all the time. He was trained as an EMT and a medic. After basic, he had 6 months tech training at Shepherd Air Force Base in Texas. And then he was permanently assigned to Whiteman Air Force Base just south of Kansas City. Here he trained in emergency response at the University of Missouri, which led him to drive an ambulance for the base. A little bit about Whiteman Air Force Base. It's a strategic air command base. It housed a squadron of B-52 bombers armed with nuclear bombs, also housed the Minuteman II missile system, 60-foot-long nuclear-tipped intercontinental ballistic missiles. They were situated in dozens of underground missile silos scattered across southern Missouri farmland, spread over thousands of acres so they would be difficult to hit them all before we got some of them launched. These were decommissioned and removed in the 90s, but they were very much still in use in the 70s when Terry was enlisted. He noted that they were all aimed over the North Pole so that they would drop directly into the heart of the Soviet Union, because we were obviously right in the middle of the Cold War. Here is where Terry meets Toby. It's 1975. His coworker Toby is a young senior airman from Flint, Michigan, and they quickly became friends. They were partners on the ambulance. They were interested in the same things. Their wives were pals. Everything just aligned so that Terry and Toby would become buddies. Like it was all like from the get-go, they were like bros. One particular night shift, Terry recalls sitting at work playing cards with Toby when they got a call on what he called the crash phone. This meant it could be an aircraft emergency of any sort or an incident at one of the missile facilities. So he and Toby immediately got to work. It was about 2 a.m. and he recalls being super cold. Said it was about 10 degrees out. It was just miserable. He remembers not using his sirens, just his lights, because it was so early in rural Missouri that there wasn't any traffic. It wouldn't be an issue. They got very little information on what had happened other than an airman mechanic had slipped from a ladder while doing a missile inspection, and they were about 18 minutes out. As they get close to the said silo, Terry recalls seeing tons of flashing red lights from emergency vehicles and a cloud of exhaust fumes from the silo. This is when he knew something weird was going on, because they should be the only ones there with flashing lights. A mile from the silo, they're stopped by a roadblock. Two security policemen had parked their cars across the highway to stop traffic from both directions, from getting to and from the missile silo. Terry thought this was pretty weird, considering they'd only got a call for a leg injury of a mechanic. Like, this is an awfully big response for something so minimal. One of the security detail waved them through, and Terry asked him what was going on. Security said he had no idea, they weren't briefed, and it had been radio silence since they had gotten there. But they waved the ambulance on through. As they pulled up, they were greeted with over a dozen security vehicles and about 30 officers with M16s. He knew it had to be something very wrong, but he was still trying to convince himself that there was an explanation. Maybe a deer had set off a motion detector and some new lieutenant had a knee-jerk reaction. He knew, like, in his brain, he was trying to explain away what was going on.
Right.
He immediately thought it was some sort of security drill also. Like, maybe this is a whole thing we're not privy to. But as they pulled into the heart of the scene, they realized that it was not. There were men crouched outside of their vehicles, others scurrying around, some with their eyes locked on something in the sky. All of them were carrying military-issued rifles. Standing in the middle of the road was a captain who flagged them over to the entry gate. Four men with rifles stood in front of the gate to block all entry. The captain was very short with them. "Park it here. Stay off your radios. Stay inside your vehicle. Your patient is walking and talking, but until I authorize it, nobody goes in, nobody comes out. Is that clear?" Hey, Holocult. Have you ever gotten back from a paranormal investigation and woken up with some funky symptoms like a swollen, itchy eye, tight pain in your neck, or weird cold symptoms that just won't go away, and then you immediately Googled it or searched TikTok to see what's wrong? We've all gone down that rabbit hole, but it's time to get the help and care you need with ZocDoc. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare high-quality in-network doctors and click to instantly book an appointment. We're talking about booking in-network appointments with more than 100,000 doctors across every specialty, from mental health to dental health, primary care to urgent care, and more. You can filter doctors who take your insurance, are located nearby, are a good fit for any medical need you may have, and are highly rated by verified patients. Luckily, I haven't had to book an actual doctor's appointment. I've stayed pretty healthy, but I have used the app to book a mock appointment, and it is great. It's so easy. It's a one-stop shop for any of your booking needs. You can search up doctors close by, doctors in your insurance network, ones that have short wait times. It really is nice. So stop putting off those doctor's appointments and go to ZocDoc.com/hollow1 to find and instantly book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/HOLO1. ZocDoc.com/hollow1. Hey, Holocult, do you remember a time where if you wanted weed, you had to meet up with some sketchy dude behind the dumpster in a Denny's parking lot? Well, you don't have to do that anymore, because you can get federally legal THC shipped right to your front door. How can you get that done? With Mood. Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC right to your door. And you can get 20% off your first order at mood.com/HOLO and enter coupon code HOLO. I'm talking high potency gummies, top shelf flower, home baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary, you can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. Every Mood product is made from pesticide free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code HOLO. So head over to mood.com/HOLO, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use coupon code HOLO when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5 quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.
They took their orders, but it didn't take long for curiosity to get the best of Toby. Because Toby's an OG. He buttoned up his coat and slid out the passenger door. He's going to see what the fuck is going on.
Attaboy.
Going to get the business. He was gone for about 10 minutes when he popped the door open and said, "Terry, you've got to see this. Get out of the damn ambulance." Terry zipped up his coat and hopped out. The first thing he noticed was about 25 security policemen, all crouched outside their vehicles, almost as if they were taking cover from something or someone, but they were all staring into the sky. This is when he noticed the captain again, standing in the middle of the road, radio in one hand, pistol in the other, just staring, mouth opened as something directly over the missile silo. Toby interjects with, "Do you see it? Isn't that the most incredible thing you've ever seen?" Terry immediately noticed what Toby was talking about. It was a black diamond-shaped craft hovering mid-air above the silo. It was a little bigger than a full-size van. It was sitting motionless in the sky, about 50 feet above the Kilo 5 silo. It was diamond-shaped, completely jet black, darker than the night sky. Spotlights from over a dozen security vehicles were aimed directly on it, and its surface was almost a matte color, non-reflective. Terry and Toby and the rest of the men continued to watch this thing for 10 minutes. They saw no wires, no propellers, no engines, no exhaust, no nothing to show any power source that could keep this thing hovering in midair like it was. Then, just like that, it shot off into the sky, going from stationary to out of sight in less than a second. Unreal acceleration with no sign of power. At this point, the captain turned and walked over to them. They were sure that they were going to be reprimanded for disobeying direct orders from a superior, but the captain just looked at them wide-eyed and smiling. And he asked, "Did you see what I just saw?"
That's kind of awesome that they're like, it was just so fantastical that he's like, "I'm not even mad."
Yeah, that's exactly what Terry says. He said he knew that he had just witnessed something so unexplainable by the way the captain just put his rank aside, didn't care, and just reacted as like another human being that just saw something that they can't explain.
That's awesome. It would be crazy to be there in that moment, witnessing it with not just yourself, but with all those people. Would be crazy.
And to pull up on it like they did with like all the military force there, and like just imagining pulling in and you have all of these guys like squatted down behind their squad cars and shit, like just waiting for something to pop off and not knowing what was going on. They all stared at the empty spot in the sky where the craft had been before the captain ordered the gate open and let them through to get the mechanic. They were instructed to only give the doctor a status report and an ETA, but other than that, they needed to stay silent on the radio. The captain instructed, "No chatter, write up a clean report," and they obliged. Everything went routine as far as getting the airmen back to the base, aside from seeing over a dozen helicopters head out directly to the Kilo 5 silo. This kind of puzzled Terry, as like, why were they so late to the party when they were fully capable of beating all this security detail there? You know, if security knew right. Something was going on, like they had to know. Terry wondered if were they worried that there would be some kind of air interaction that may cause a conflict with the craft. Upon getting back to the base, they were debriefed by their commanding officer when they got there. Terry stated that their CO was a good guy, and as soon as they restocked their ambulance, he called them into his office and shut the door behind him. The first thing he asked was what they saw in their reports. Of course not, they told him, because their reports were limited strictly to the facts regarding the patient, his treatment, and his transportation. He asked to review the reports and then made copies of them. After that, it was all clear. He immediately asked what had taken place at the Kilo 5 silo. Basically, he had missed the party and he had to live it vicariously through them.
Right.
He was fascinated and couldn't get enough details from him. He asked if they would draw it for him, and they did. Their drawings pretty much matched up with each other's. He took the drawings and their reports and locked them in his desk drawer. Terry asked if he knew what they had seen out there, how it was flying if it had no wings or propellers or engines. All he could say was, quote, "That was an experimental helicopter, okay?" And all they could do was give a yes, sir, we understand. But his facial expressions gave him away. He had no idea. He said, "Guys, it's probably a prototype of some sort. For that reason, it's a secret. Do you understand? That means no talking to anyone. Just forget you even saw it. Finish up your shift. Go home. I know you're both smart guys. Don't screw it up by running your mouths. I mean it. No talking to anyone, or it could be trouble for all of us."
Sounds like pretty strict orders to keep your mouth shut.
Yeah. Yeah. And those were the two I was going to touch on in this first one before we get into the big crux of the actual scenario of the Devil's Den abduction. Because it just kind of like introduces you to Terry's life and how this has kind of been a real prevalent thing throughout his history. Right?
Yeah.
So he... we have the, goddamn, I'm drawing a blank.
The implants?
Yeah. The implants kind of like sparked this whole like recounting of all of the abductions that he has had. And once we get into next week's episode, it kind of goes deep into to what happens at Devil's Den.
It's crazy how frequent it happens to him, because that instance in particular should have, by all accounts, should just be so random.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the fact that it somehow life aligned and here he is witnessing it again.
And it makes me wonder like how much of that stuff he had blocked out through his life, because again, he had experiences as a child that, you know, being a child, you kind of like write that stuff off a little bit.
Oh yeah.
Like boogeyman kind of stuff. And especially when like the people you're supposed to confide in are kind of like pushing you off.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Right.
Yeah. Don't worry about it. It's going to be fine. But then to have these scenarios just keep happening, because that with the missile silo, like you'd think like that's a pretty, pretty big deal, right? You got a UFO over a nuclear silo,
which is a pretty common thing.
Yeah.
There are tons of sightings over missile silos, nuclear missile silos at that.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's interesting just like how everyone kind of just like business as usual after it took off. He made note to say that like there were security officers there that were interrogating the mechanic that had fallen off of the ladder, who wasn't privy to any of the UFO stuff, but they didn't interrogate him and Toby because his commanding officer did. And he was just joking about how like the mechanic who didn't see anything was being just
grilled,
pinned down and grilled about what he'd seen. And then they were just like, it's fine.
Right? Yeah,
it's fine.
It's, I don't know. It's bizarre. It's like, the whole thing's bizarre. That UFO encounter, the fact that cause I was waiting for you to tell me the shoe dropped and like these guys were all experiencing like a time freeze, how they were all stationary behind their vehicles and shit. I was waiting for you to be like, Toby was like the only one moving through the crowd. I'm like, oh fuck, it's really popping off now.
that would be crazy,
dude. It'd be nuts if that would have taken place. It's still crazy that it took place is nonchalant as it was, but it is the military, and the military is good for about, you know, let's just continue on. This is obviously top secret. Regardless of what it is, they initially went right at the top secret angle, which rightfully so, because it'd be tech that they'd never seen before. You would think there would be a little more of an alarm, though, hovering over your nuclear silo. You think there would be some urgency with that, because that's kind of a big deal.
It also makes me wonder, like, how common of an occurrence is it that there wasn't like a big response to it? Like, yeah, there was, you know, a dozen vehicles and 30 or 40 military officers there. But like Terry said, like, they could have had helicopters there in no time. Almost like they didn't want to engage this thing with any sort of like aggression. Right.
Yeah.
So they were just all just kind of waiting for it to make its move, just waiting for it to leave, you know, like they didn't know. Yeah. either it's such a common occurrence that like, this is just like standard protocol. Do not engage, let it do its thing, let it take off. Or they didn't know how to respond to it. They were just like, we don't know, maybe it'll go away.
You know, it does make me think a little more about the validity of the comments that have been made about how nuclear warheads, all of them, are inactive on the planet because they've been visited and switched off. I wonder, it would be interesting to see nuclear site logs to see if they have all been visited.
Oh, that'd be crazy.
Because you think about it, we've heard about a couple, right? There's some mainstream ones that we know have been visited, but this story right here, I've never heard of this site being visited.
No.
So yeah. it makes me wonder, like you brought up the question about how common it is. I wonder the same thing, just in a different avenue, kind of, how many have been visited, because if they've all experienced a similar situation like this, maybe there is some validity to the fact that they have shut off these nuclear warheads and made them incapable of use, or at the very least flexed on every country, every nuclear site. Like, hey, if you guys think you're going to launch this shit, you got another thing coming.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Cause you hear about, like, granted it's the media that we get, the, like, how big of a disarray that like Russian nuclear silos are in.
Yeah.
Like they can't, like the doors won't even open on those things. So it makes you wonder how long they maybe have been disabled by something not of this planet.
I mean, honestly, it'd be the best fucking thing for us.
Yeah. Yeah. Puts everybody on a square playing field. That's for sure.
Yeah, exactly. And one that's not going to completely level the planet.
And maybe that's why, you know, maybe that's why there's such a race to reverse engineer alien tech, because maybe nuclear tech doesn't exist anymore.
Well, and not only that, but I was thinking more about the military tactical advantage. What if you had a craft that you could fly over everybody's missile systems and be like, nope, nope,
oh yeah,
nope. Nobody has missile systems except you, and you're like, watch this. Because I do firmly believe that, I know this is kind of off subject, but I do firmly believe that the first to that tech dominates the planet.
Oh, yes, 100%.
And I think that's why, I think that's a huge part, whether we want to admit it or not, I think that's a huge part in why there is so much secrecy around UFOs, is because every country has them. I've heard the comments several times, and in research that we've done, every country has gotten quote unquote donations, which is craft that have just been left out in the middle of the nowhere for our governments to find. And I truly think that the first to engineer it dominates the planet.
Oh yeah.
And so that's why there's so much secrecy around it. I know we go a lot on the religion aspect, but I think at least that's a part of the puzzle that I think if all of us got together, all the countries, we'd figure it out. And we'd be an interplanetary species at that point.
We just can't get our shit together.
And so is that, you know, and then that alludes to, what are the intentions behind the ETs? Are they dropping this off in hopes that we pull our heads out of our asses and become an interplanetary species. We get along, so on and so forth. Or are they donating it to see who's the top dog and further, you know, partial extinction of the planet?
Yeah, that's a terrible scenario.
It's plausible though, right?
Yeah.
Because you're not donating vehicles for no reason.
I hate that they call them donations. That sucks.
Yeah, because from what I understand is that we always view them as alien crashes. There have been some, but that's not the case here. The case is literally that they have come across full UFOs just sitting out in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Yeah, and you would think, like, in my brain, a crash, like these things, if they are extraterrestrial, these things have traveled light years,
yeah, right?
They can't come up with some way to, like, self-destruct their ship to where we can't find it. Yeah,
like, straight up Predator style.
Yeah, get out of here.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Not to mention, that also answers... I lost my thought, but it answers the, you know, a lot of people ask, well, if it's so advanced, how does it just fucking crash on our planet? Maybe not one of them have been crashes.
Right.
Maybe they've all been donations, and what better way to kind of, you know what I mean? Cause donations implies a whole lot more than crashes.
Yeah.
In my opinion, because that means that somewhere along the line, there's at least been some type of communication, or there's an agreement, or some crazy nonsense that's going on.
And the crashes almost feel like manipulative, you know?
And on top of that, real quick, crashes show vulnerability.
Exactly where I was going with it. It's like
it shows that they can be taken down.
Yep. That's exactly where I was going with it. Like it makes us have like a false sense of security. Like, oh, they're not,
absolutely,
they're not impenetrable, you know? And we're over here, we're smart enough that we can recover them when, in all actuality, they're just like tossing their junk shit out of their motherships and just letting it, like, here you go, losers, reverse engineer this and see who's the first one to blow up the planet.
Or maybe it's a full on test. You know, it still plays to my earlier thesis, but maybe it's a test to see, because we've done research how humanity needs proper steps in to becoming an interplanetary species. Like you need to fall, like you need to have like a more connection to the planet and so on and so forth. Maybe it's a test. Maybe they're like, hey, let's see if the human race is ready. We're gonna give them ships so they can learn to be interplanetary. Yeah. But maybe they decide to be assholes and just conquer the planet, and not even worry about being interplanetary. They're just gonna be dicks,
just regular planetary dicks.
And then, interplanetary, yeah, dicks. And then furthermore, if that is the case, if all this is true, everything we've theorized in the past, you know, 10 minutes here. The aliens have, they already have a self-destruct sequence for our planet. All they got to do is fly over all the silos and turn on all the nukes.
Yeah, which we've heard that's happened. There's, yeah, been false launches before.
Yeah. I'm just saying they could just self-destruct them in the silos, or launch them all at the same time. God, and there you go. It's game over.
A disaster.
Yeah. It's game over. And realistically, 9 times out of 10, you'll probably only got to launch a couple, and then the rest of the world's gonna go watch this.
Oh yeah,
game on. Push the button. Yeah. Game. So there's, you know, there's that. I don't know. It begs a lot of questions. I would like to do some more research into the donations too, because we heard it during the Collins Elite. That's the first time I heard it, anyways. And then I've heard, I can't remember who it was, there were speakers that I've been listening to who have referenced donations, how they said, it's straight up like they find them abandoned out in the middle of nowhere.
We heard that. We heard that somewhere recently.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it was from.
I know I heard it during the Collins Elite.
Yeah.
And I heard it during my, one of my episodes. Can't remember what I called it. but it was from a documentary where they were, Group 5-8.
Oh, retrieval. Yeah. Yep.
There was that. And then I know I heard somebody on, I think it was Rogan talking about it.
Which is,
so it has been like a hot topic lately about how they're just donations. They just call them donations. Which, like you said, it's terrifying. It's a whole new meaning.
And that, like, just the concept of that, like that could be their junk, right? They could be infinitely ahead of that in their technology now. And we're still trying to like put square pegs in round holes over here, trying to figure out what their old junk is. Which maybe we're so bad at being a species. They are leaving these donations. Like, here you go, guys. Pick up. See, the
more I think about it, the more I think that it's more of a test, because they have to know. If they don't, shame on you. I'm telling you right now, shame on you. They have to know that we would not be good as an interplanetary, like a multi-planetary species.
Oh yeah, we're too emotion driven.
Well, and we don't take care of shit.
No, that's also a fact.
We would there would literally be a garbage trail across planets and galaxies.
Yes.
That's what would happen.
Humans were here.
That's what it would be. You'd have trash piles everywhere and they'd be like, great, fucking humans.
Yeah, maybe they are just holding one puzzle piece out, right? Like, they're giving us all these donations to put shit together and they're holding one puzzle piece out. And they're like, once you guys get your shit together, we'll give you this and everything will make sense.
Right.
All this new physics, all of this like propulsion system and energy systems that you don't understand, like this one piece, we're holding it for you. You just got to show us that you're cool.
Yeah.
We just keep
talking. That's kind of what I feel like. It's like, it's the test. It's all right. We're going to give them this tech knowing that we shouldn't. Maybe they'll surprise us and they'll get their shit together. And instead one country's going to figure it out. They're going to build a fucking fleet of them and they're going to dominate the planet. And the aliens are going to go, damn it.
We knew
never this shouldn't have given it to them.
We fucking knew this was going to happen. And did happen.
I don't know. We just, I don't have that much faith.
We're not good.
Not that great.
Sucks.
Yeah. We have a hard time with stuff.
Yeah. But it does, like you brought up some good points with the implant. The way that they responded to it.
And the way that they
kept,
right?
Yeah. And the way that they kept changing the narrative, changing it all.
Didn't you say it took place in the 80s?
Yeah.
And
well, that's when he first started noticing it. When it actually took off was 2012. When he had
when he got the X-ray.
Yeah, when he had the actual.
Okay, all right.
Can't handle it anymore.
Gotcha. Because I was going to self-correct myself and be like, well, he probably didn't have computers, so blah blah blah. But at that time, he definitely had a computer. Yeah. But still, it still shows their response level. And like I said, as far as like the best analogy I have is the algorithm method. Like those, like think about that. That means we know they're tapped into everything, but it proves they're tapped into everything, even medical databases. And they have to have specific flag words that they're targeting to instantaneously draw attention.
Yeah. And it almost makes me wonder if that started immediately when that first X-ray was taken. When that X-ray tech saw that there was something that wasn't supposed to be there, that whole scenario started, because they immediately started taking more X-rays. Not just like a couple, dozens more X-rays that are somewhere now. They said they got destroyed because they weren't a good
quality. Oh, that's bullshit.
No, especially when the X-ray tech and the radiologist and Terry all looked at them and were like, hey,
that's weird.
There's something with wires in your leg.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's obviously not a shitty picture if you're seeing the wires.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's obviously something here. It's weird.
And even with the flower petal thing, if it was that well placed, a blurry X-ray probably wouldn't have shown a flower petal. It probably would have shown a blob. Yeah. And they would have clearly been like, that's a cyst, dude.
And it almost like, it almost leads to them knowing more about it than they're letting on. Because what if, like, if that was made to where it wasn't visible from the front of the calf, like, is that the reason they started taking more x-rays? Like, hey, maybe we need to check, maybe we got this metal one in here. We need to check for this, this weird, this other weird bone density one, because maybe somewhere along the line, this becomes a common occurrence.
That's a possibility. That's a good observation. The, I kind of feel like they took an x-ray of the anomaly and they're like, well, this is fucking weird. We need to see what the whole picture is. So they start rotating around the leg. They capture the calf by accident and then start to zoom in on it. And then I feel like most of the additional x-rays were probably taken for curiosity. And when they log that into the system, the second that goes in the system, that's when the government finds it and reacts to it.
No thanks.
But it's also just as plausible that your scenario is correct, because at, that means at a certain point, for lack of better description here, the doctors are now bought and paid for.
Yeah.
Cause so, so somewhere along the line, whether that be prior knowledge, like you were stating, like maybe this isn't the first time they've seen it and they're following protocol, or they entered it into the system and then the government interjects and is like, no, no, we're not going to talk about this. All right. This never fucking happened. Your little assessment here of the cyst, the plantar cyst or whatever. Yeah. Whatever that you, whatever you got it in there as, that's the official story. You shut the fuck up about the rest of it, or I'm going to take away your medical license. End of story.
Yep. Make this go away. Make this.
Yep.
Not even go away. Make this something that no one's going to notice.
And do you think it could be possible too, that maybe the doctors are out of the loop entirely? Like maybe it gets entered into the system and the government finds it and then just goes ahead and deletes and alters the reports. Oh, because then at the end of the story, at the end of the day, a doctor talking about an alien implant is just as bizarre as me talking about my own alien implant.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And it could also, like, that could also be a reason why there were multiple reports. Like one radiologist looked at it and said, hey, there was some weird shit in this. And then he goes back and the other one's like, we better clean that report up a little bit. Yeah, there was an anomaly, but mostly just a Baker cyst. And then the government's like, you're both fucked up. We're going to get rid of all that shit. Yeah. And then we're going to be like, hey, it's just a cyst. People get them all the time.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Cause I think all of it's plausible. Even like I said, the bare minimum that none of them knew, none of them were contacted by the government. The government just seen it, deleted all of it, to where like if he would have gone back to the same doctor and been like, yo, dude, can I have the official printout of my stop here? And the doctor goes, yeah, sure. And he goes to get it. And he's like, oh, that's weird. All it says is it's a cyst. I didn't write that. What the fuck?
And I remember taking 22 x-rays. Yeah. Got two. That's weird.
Yeah. Cause at the end of the day, they can be like, no, you didn't. Cause it's not there.
Yeah.
If you did, but then again, it was also in the official report that the x-rays were of shit quality. So that means at least one of the doctors is in on it then, right?
I guess
you would assume.
Depending who wrote the report.
Yeah.
Who
yeah, went to x-rays. Yeah. 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 See, and that's what I mean. Like it gets so muddy so fast. Like you can't, it's so hard to prove those avenues, and it takes minor details because it would just take the government to go in and literally just not say a word to anybody, delete that evidence. And then it just creates a shitstorm of finger pointing.
And honestly, how many people are going to question it? Right. How many people are going to come back and be like, hey, I need to see my x-rays. And then when we're like, these are the only two good ones we got, the rest of them we just got rid of. You're going to be like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know enough about x-rays to even question like how often the good ones come through or not.
Yep. 100%. Cause that's a good point. Cause that's what I would do. I'd just be like, oh, okay.
Yeah,
that sucks.
Did you charge me for all those motherfuckers?
Bet. Since they were shitty, I ain't paying for them. That's your fault.
Get better equipment. But anywho, I just thought that I'd break the ice on this with just a couple of those little things he had going on in his life before we get into the actual abduction scenario next week. It sucks, and it makes me never want to go camping. So me and Kyle are probably going to go book a weekend at Devil's Den.
Let's go.
See how that goes. There's been some weird stuff happen to Devil's Den also.
I'd go.
Not even like in connection with this abduction scenario. There was a missing 411 case from the 50s where a girl went missing for like a week. And they found her in a cave that they had already searched. And she was completely fed, not dehydrated. Just fine. She just came out of the cave and said, "Here I am."
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Oh, here I am. Oh, there was a man that went missing in the park recently. Terry talks about it in the foreword of his book, within the last 10 years. And they never found him. So it's a weird place. Weird place.
I'm down to go.
But anywho, thanks for hanging out with us. Check us out on all our socials. You know the drill. Be sure to tune in next week where we get into the actual crux of the abduction at Devil's Den. And until we meet again, stay safe, stay weird. If you have an alien implant, take your own x-rays with your x-ray machine. Keep them on file, because you can't trust big pharma, big hospital, to be honest.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey Carl, it's Jen from finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5 quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.